I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's happening? How are you today? Tinky and Tierney, company from the Tinky and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you as well. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. What's going on? Hope everybody's doing well on this Tuesday around the country here. Tinky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 206. We'll bounce around a lot today. A couple hours, we'll find out what's happening with the Hall of Fame. What a lead with that. Let me ask you this, T, before we get a little deeper into the specific weeds of this Hall of Fame class here.
Yep.
How important, as a former player, how important is it to you, character, for a Hall of Fame?
Not very.
I'm surprised you say that.
Yeah, I mean, it is, but it isn't. Because at the end of the day, you're celebrating guys who accomplished great athletic feats, because there are plenty if you go back into the history of Hall of Fames,
mm-hmm.
right? Baseball and certainly in the NFL, who were just bad guys. But in their societies, media-wise, and I guess even perceptually, you didn't care. Like, you just kind of excused it, and you only got judged on, you know, how far you could hit a home run, or how many home runs you hit, or, you know, how far you could throw a touchdown pass, and how many you threw, and things of that nature. What was the aesthetic like on the field? All the other stuff didn't matter. And so I think as a player, a guy could have been a jerk, like a complete ass,
mm-hmm.
but I would still respect him if he had game, you know? And so I think that's ultimately, at its core, what should determine a Hall of Fame candidate and an inductee. And it's interesting you bring this up, because I was doing a podcast earlier today with my buddy, Chris DiStefano.
Okay.
It was on Ultimate Beastmaster.
Yeah.
History Hyenas.
You guys going to reboot the show? Sure.
No, we were joking. He was like, I got fired from the show. I'm like, you didn't get fired, but you kind of did get fired. But
did he really?
Not really. He's a comedian.
Yeah. So I remember you said you enjoyed working with him.
He was awesome. So I did his podcast today.
Cool.
And ended up talking about T.O.
Okay.
And like it came as a question of subjectivity versus objectivity. And at the end of the day, we would think, and as I just stated, objectivity should win, right? What did you do? How good were you? How many home runs did you hit? I mean, how many touchdowns did you score? Yards, etc., yada, yada, yada. But in actuality, subjectivity rules the day,
mm-hmm.
because humans make the decision.
That's right.
And it came back to T.O. because that conversation that we reference often that we had with Clark Judge, where he was like, no, hold on. He's not a first ballot Hall of Famer because mm-hmm. no team wanted him. We're like, what the hell are you talking about? He's number two on the list of like everything.
Yeah.
If not for Jerry Rice, he'd have been the greatest statistical wide receiver in NFL history. And so, like, I think at the end of the day, while as a player, you respect, like, the stats. What did you do, man? This guy accomplished. He was a stud. You watched him on Sundays or Saturdays or World Series or whatever, and he was just the man. He showed up. He was accountable. He was clutch. He did everything he needed to do. But when it comes to actually voting into the Hall of Fame,
yeah.
it's often about what people perceive that person to be like, not what he did in their specific sports arena.
That's good. You know, I think that's that's fair. You know what I think has happened to it? I don't think anybody really talks about this. You know, you think about how we romanticize the game, especially with baseball.
Yeah, of course.
You know, the 50s, yeah. Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle, all that stuff, right? You know, I feel like the modern player today is judged so much more harshly and with such a different, with a magnifying glass. I mean, I almost don't even want to say this because I can't mm-hmm. prove this, but you think about the players that we are just we've long admired, you know, that we've heard,
yeah.
whether it's a baseball card or a highlight, whatever, we heard from stories from our dads. You know, think about how many of those players, I don't use the word probably, for sure, probably, were involved in some sort of domestic violence.
Yeah.
I mean, think about
that. We're not upstanding citizens.
For sure.
Yeah.
But specifically, like, domestic violence. Like, yeah. we spend so much time on steroids. And I get it, rightfully so to an extent. HGH, the digital scandal now with the Astros, I understand that. And that's going to launch into the Clemens Bonds conversation in a moment, how I think it's going to actually help them, what's happened with the Astros. But, you know, back in the 60s, hell, in the 70s, in the 80s, I remember, like, reading, you know, whether it was the Post or the News and seeing a little blurb, you know, so-and-so player arrested on a domestic incident. He's playing the next day. Yeah. He's forget about getting suspended. Yeah. He's playing that day.
That's right.
So,
and those stories get lost.
They just get buried.
Yeah, you got arrested, but nothing's going to happen. Maybe you get, you know, summons and maybe, who knows?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they get absolutely buried. So we all want to be sanctimonious about, you know, how we live our lives and try to judge others. And at some point, you've got to take a moral stand. You obviously have to tell people when you do what you and I do for a living, what's in our heart and how we would interpret this situation. But, you know, I think it's so skewed. We've talked long about the NFL. It's just far too nebulous. Nobody knows what the hell goes on in that room. We're getting a little bit more information each year, but it's a joke. Baseball, you know, the writers, the voters are armed. They've weaponized. They really, they've used the voting as a weapon, which is so inherently wrong. They have far too much power. It makes no sense whether Jeter gets 100% or 99%. You know, well, let me just kick him down. I know he's going to get in, and I got to keep this guy on the ballot. It's all out of whack. It's really all out of whack, which brings me to Bonds and Clemens. Now, they're not getting in today. They're not. They don't have the numbers, and I believe it's going to be far more unfavorable when we get this at 6 Eastern.
58-ish?
I think it's going to be above 60-ish. But right now, both are low 70s, trending. Listen, the way it goes is the younger people generally get the votes in quickly so they can publicize them. Those who have long lamented the case of Bonds and Clemens and others, McGuire, Sosa, they generally keep that private until now. And that does not bode well for guys like Bonds and Clemens, because I think that the more votes that come in, and this is the case last year and the year before, you'll start to see it go in the wrong direction. But what I do think will save them, so they're not getting in today, but what I think will save them is this Astro situation.
Interesting.
Trevor Bauer was in this studio, what, 4 days ago?
Yep.
Sat right there, 3 feet to my right and about 7 feet away from Tiki, and flat out said, I would rather face a guy juiced up than a guy who knows what's coming.
Yeah.
And I think that that's going to really change how people perceive Bonds and Clemens. I think it should.
It's interesting because, like, this scandal, this sign-stealing scandal and the intricacies with which the Astros and a couple of others, the Red Sox we know for sure, but I'm sure there were others as well, went about, it's numbing some of these other things that we used to get up in arms about. Because think about what, like, Jose Altuve and Bregman and those guys are talking about now. Like, they're sloughing this off like it was nothing.
At the Fan Fest.
At the Fan Fest.
The Astros did them no favor.
No favors. I mean, so, but, like, this is literally one of the biggest scandals in sports, right?
Yeah.
Skips were fired. Three of them were fired because of their or let go or suspended and then ultimately fired when you think of A.J. Hinch and Lunau. Like, fired because of this. Mm-hmm. Serious repercussions. The highest possible fine imagine a gig that's possible given to the Houston Astros.
Yeah.
So the biggest scandal of this generation, even probably bigger than steroids, and the players that were directly involved with it wearing electronic devices that would buzz you, hey, guess what, you got some heat, or not buzz, you got heat coming here, you turn on a 101-mile-an-hour fastball from Aroldis Chapman.
At your throat
and hit it over the wall. I mean, come on.
Joke, it's ridiculous. Like,
seriously. And then 3 days later, you show up at the Fan Fest and you go, yeah, you know, we're gonna win a World Series anyways to show everybody. Yeah, it's past us. Yeah, they can't do anything to us. I mean, it's nonsense.
I know.
Arrogant. If we're gonna move past, and I don't think we are, but I'm just saying this facetiously. If we're gonna move past this great cheating scandal that the Astros, put on for who knows how many years, and just quickly say, yeah, it's on the next year. We're gonna win World Series anyways. Yeah, forget about it. We got immunity from the commissioner. He really didn't find anything. Then why the hell do I care about Barry Bonds doing steroids?
That's what I'm saying.
Or Roger Clemens taking HGH.
That's what I'm saying.
Or any of these other guys.
In that instance, Sosa or McGuire.
That's right.
I mean,
and so if we're gonna marginalize what the Astros did, because trust me, that's what's happening, right?
Not here for
not,
sure.
Certainly not here.
And I don't know.
I get heated about it.
But you really think it's been taken very seriously.
Think about nationally, okay. Like the conversation we had about Deflategate, which was, I almost cussed there, but it was nonsense.
Yeah.
It was utter nonsense.
Yeah.
And it lasted for a year.
Yeah.
And perceptually, much longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
It almost feels like, in certain areas, people are ready to move on from this scandal with the Astros, and they're forgiving the players. Like,
I don't sense that. I got to disagree. I don't sense that at all.
I don't think the current players are, but I think the populace as a whole.
I disagree.
Are.
I think the fans
I don't know.
Are
let's,
livid.
Let's ask the fans.
Oh,
what
the
do you
phones
think?
Are always open. 855-212-4227. Obviously, the aspect of morality with the Hall of Fame is a huge thing, and I'm curious where you sit on that. We'll get plenty of calls. We'll do it next segment for sure. You know, I throw in the names McGuire and Sosa just to. I do delineate between. You know, guys who are on Hall of Fame careers before they took whatever they took and guys who aren't, that I don't know that I'm necessarily right because Mark McGuire was on the 84 Olympic team and he hit 500-foot bombs when he was skinny as a light pole. I don't really know what's right or wrong anymore, but I know what's right or wrong for me. And I really truly believe that my belief on and my take on the entire situation represents, not to say the overwhelming majority, but the majority of baseball fans who love the game the way I do.
I hope so.
At first, no chance. Keep them out. Cheat. You can't do that. It's a sacred game. The record broke. You can't do that.
Oh, you're talking about with Bonds and McGuire.
For sure.
Yeah.
And that as time elapses and you start to see some other indiscretions and some egregious behavior, most recently the Astros, you're like, the hell are these guys? Why are they not in there? It's ridiculous. It's, you know, and the other thing, too, is that I look around, and I think that sometimes, and I do sense this, people, and I think this applied to the Patriots, and quite frankly, I may have been a little guilty of this, and I throw this out there. I think people love to parachute in, drop a little bomb, make it a little U-turn, and walk the other way. And it's a little contrived.
No, I know what you mean.
What I'm saying? But I feel like with the Astros, with baseball, and not even people who don't, I'm talking about people on TV who don't know baseball and don't care, they have an investment here. And I believe that fans, this isn't about just, you know, the low-hanging fruit and being negative and being mean on social media. I believe this has really adversely ticked off fans and has recalibrated some thoughts pertaining to the Hall of Fame, pertaining to Bonds and Clemens.
I really do. Certainly it does for Bonds and Clemens, because if that's not cheating, right? If that's cheating, then so is this. And why isn't this getting the same gravity as that? You know, it's
correct.
There's no equality here. Like, who's judging morality when it comes to trying to find an edge with winning? Because there was no repercussion for the players who employed this cheating scandal. A lot of them probably were part of implementing it as well. Carlos Beltran lost his job as a manager when he was a player.
And not only that, the inconsistencies are really just offensive. Because, you know, Mike Piazza is a great player.
Mm-hmm.
Hall of Fame. Lot of smoke that maybe Mike was doing some stuff. Same with Bagwell. Yeah, I mean, a lot of smoke that Bagwell was doing something. You know, bagpipes, he was jacked. I mean, it wasn't like that when he played at the University of Hartford. Nor was he like that when he was in the Red Sox chain. Nor was he like that when he first came up with the Astros. He was thinner. His entire body changed. I think if you try to go down this hole, not just a rabbit hole, but assign definitive levels of guilt, it's a waste of time. Just put them in.
Yeah.
Just put them in. Put them in the Hall of Fame. Now, they're not getting in today. Again, they're not getting in because I've really, you know, dived deeply into the numbers. It's not going to work out this year. But next year, it's a pretty weak class. I think it opens the door for Bonds and Clemens. And quite frankly, it's about damn time. Yeah, it's about damn time. 855-212-4227. Let's take some calls. I think we could focus on a couple things here, Teak. I think one truly is the morality aspect. Some will lean more heavily on that, and I would certainly respect it. I would just say be consistent because, let's face it, Ty Cobb was perceived to be a racist.
Right.
You know, Mickey Mantle drank every night and womanized and did whatever, and he's glorified. Yep. I mean, let's just be a little consistent here. It's really driving me nuts. It's pissing me off. So we'll get calls on this. Michael Irvin this hour as well, all right? So obviously we'll do heavy on the Super Bowl each day, lead a little bit more up to it. Teak and I will be in Miami, of course. Inbounds, out of bounds. Got a good show for you. The Lakers got blasted last night. Who needs to make a move more, the Lakers or some of the other contenders? Sixers may be vying for the same player, and it's a good name, an interesting name, who's having a big-time season. So we'll get the calls, give you a chance to react. If you had a vote, would you put them in? Hey, listen, it's time. Get out of the middle of the road. Take a definitive stance. That's it. I mean, yeah, and quite frankly, if you have a stance that they shouldn't get in, change your stance. Because it's antiquated. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney. We'll use it. We'll get to these calls. Hall of Fame. 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote. Go to geico.com. Easy. Michael Irvin, the wild man, will join us coming up next segment. We'll just basically wind him up and let him go, which is awesome. Playmaker here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. This is interesting. So I put this up, and it's only a couple hundred votes. It's still early, but it's an interesting start to this, and I didn't anticipate this. It's on Tiki and Tierney. Go give it a vote, our question today. How would you vote? Very simple, right? Both Bonds and Clemens in, 59.9%. Okay, that makes sense to me. Both Bonds and Clemens out, 29.8%. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Just Bonds in, 9%. Just Clemens in, 1.2%. So basically what they're deducing is that Clemens needed it far more than Bonds did, which I don't agree with.
Yeah, that doesn't make much sense.
No, Clemens as a kid was a beast.
Yeah, he was.
And 86 World Series. I know they didn't win it against the Mets, but he was a machine.
I think the only thing you could point to is that there was a few year period, BT, where he fell out, like he fell off kind of the face of the map. We don't know if that was because he was hurt or, you know, fighting through something. Who knows?
Sure.
But then all of a sudden he stormed back and
in Toronto when he had the back to back Cy Youngs.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I can't challenge that statistically, but I do think that pitchers, as you pitch over 20 years, are probably more prone, more susceptible to a couple of mystifyingly off years than a hitter.
Look at Justin Verlander.
Yeah, right? Verlander.
Not that
a good
he
example.
Went really
good
low
example.
down the hole, but he was off his game.
And
then he comes to Houston, and it's like, dude, he won the Cy Young, right?
Yeah,
he did. Yeah, so he won the Cy Young. At whatever. He's
a beast.
I
know.
Again. And we thought he was washed up 3 years ago.
We did. I remember looking at that contract saying, oof, the Tigers have how many more years and how much more money?
That's right.
They're going to really regret that one. Before we get to these calls, the other thing I don't agree with I don't understand. I'm just going to come clean. I don't understand the whole unanimous selection. I think it's really nonsensical on a lot of levels. And listen, there's not a bigger Yankee fan in the building than me, but I got to call the way I see it. I do think Jeter will become, will be unanimously voted in today, but I don't think that he should. I mean, he was never even remotely close to being the best player in baseball. How could you be? Now, trust me, you can tweet me. I understand how it works. What happened the previous year, who's on the ballot this year, kick it to next year. We don't need to waste time on that. But at its most simplest form, how can a player who was never even close to being the best player in baseball, let alone the best shortstop, although most of the others were chemically enhanced, to be fair to Jeets.
Yeah.
How could you get 100% of the votes?
Because they view him as the ultimate baseball player. Like, when he's quintessential. If you were making a...
What was Cal Ripken?
Cal was too, but
what was others? That's my point. Is it really Jeter?
No, it's not. But in the moment, it's kind of I don't know. It's a good question.
Well, I think he's gained, and again, I believe it's going to be 100, and I certainly won't begrudge it. I won't really chastise it. I'm just asking out loud why that is the case. I mean, Tom Seaver was pretty close. George Brett was pretty close. Cal Ripken was pretty close. To me, Mo Rivera made sense because as great as Dennis Eckersley was as a relief pitcher, nobody did what Mo did ever. Yeah. That I can understand. The Jeter stuff is a little mystifying.
When you think about it,
if it happens,
he was the face of baseball for a long time. He won championships.
Mm-hmm.
He gets stats are there. The relevant requisite stats are there.
Yep,
relevant stats are there. So in some ways, I mean, doesn't it kind of it kind of fits, right? Because he checks all those boxes, the triple threat of boxes. He checks.
No,
them.
He does. And again, not trying to denigrate him. Yeah. I'm just trying.
But here's the thing. I don't even
one
know.
One person's done that in the history of baseball.
True. Do you think he cares? You think Derek Jeter cares if he's unanimously voted in?
I think Jeter is so intensely prideful and competitive. I think he does. He'll never reveal that. But I do believe that matters to him.
Yeah, he's a.
Yeah.
See, I see him as more humble. Because the times that I've spent time with him, he doesn't come off as Derek Jeter.
No, he's not outwardly brash at all.
He's not that.
That internally. Oh, he is a killer. That's what made him great. True. Get some calls, Teague. See what's happening. All right. Let's start in Tucson, Arizona. Richard's up first. Teague and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Rich, go ahead. What do you think?
Gentlemen, it's a pleasure. Number one, I want to say you're extremely professional.
Thank
you're entertaining. And you're entertaining and you're open-minded. I mean that.
I appreciate it. Those are three good things to have. Thank you, Richard.
See, we got our own trifecta. Really,
that's right. Put us in the whole thing.
Well, I coached baseball a long time. I've been involved with the University of Arizona. And the point is that, you know, the cheating aspect, to be honest with you, I'll tell you why I don't care. I don't care because when it comes to the baseball, just the baseball itself, they've never taken care of that problem. People don't care. The point is whether it's a live ball, dead ball, using a humidifier, or this and that. Baseball does what it wants to do with the baseball.
That's a good point.
To increase the home runs and make it a dead ball or whatever.
Yeah.
So if they're not going to take care of that point, why do you care about any of the rest of the stuff? Because it initiates from the pitcher. And the pitcher obviously don't want the ball to be a live ball.
Yeah.
And
true.
And for it to be a dead ball. So, I mean, they can't even take care of the basic one. It should be uniformity. The baseball should be made uniformity no matter what, no matter whatever. If they can get to that point, which they never will, then I'll care about the cheating. Otherwise, I don't care.
Okay. It's a good call, Rich. Appreciate that, buddy. Thank you very much.
It's a different angle. I wouldn't have thought of it that way, but you're right in a sense.
Every advantage has it's kind of evened out. The early advantages were for the pitchers. You know, they had the mound higher, and then after the 68 season with Gibson, et cetera, they're like, we have to even this out a little bit. I think the average run, I could be off on this, but I think the teams averaged – two and a half runs. Like, it was a minuscule number. I mean, it was not entertaining. So, the inconsistencies in baseball are as rampant as any other sport. Yeah, listen, do I think Babe Ruth is the greatest player of all time? He might be. But, yeah, I don't know how you can bestow that on somebody who never played against a minority.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the inconsistencies in baseball are maddening. Scott's in Myrtle Beach. Scotty, Tiki and Tierney, what's up, buddy? How you doing today?
Oh, man, I'm a big fan of you guys. I love you in the afternoons.
Appreciate
you,
Scott.
Great drive home.
Appreciate you, Scott.
Much love, Scotty.
I kind of agree with you, BT. Put them in. Who cares? If they get voted in, we already know what they did.
Yeah.
Okay? We know the guys did steroids. We know Pete Rose gambled on baseball. It's what they did on the field is why they should be in there, I think, a lot. But like you said, some of these old timers, some real bad guys that are in there.
No doubt.
That's a good point, Scott.
So, you know, we know what they did.
Yeah. I also wonder this, and Scott, appreciate your call. Like, is it wrong to have the bad parts of society a part of history?
Well, I think you need to illuminate everything. I don't know that you need to honor everything. That's
well,
the distinction.
Honor,
that. Well, if you're getting the Hall of Fame, you're getting honored.
Yes, but it's a complicated conversation, right? Because the steroid era was part of baseball. And if there was we talk about Jeter being the face of baseball for his generation. If there was a face of that steroid era, it was Bonds and Clements.
No doubt.
You know?
And so Sam McGuire, too,
and
for sure.
Ultimately, it was Bonds because he broke the home run record.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's spectacular. Like, you tuned in just to watch his at-bats.
Yeah, it's still Hank Aaron in my book.
True.
Most books.
Not certainly, but Hank Aaron didn't play in that kind of media culture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were break-ins for every time Barry Bonds was coming up to bat.
I remember well.
This?
That was crazy.
It didn't matter which game you're watching. Barry Bonds comes up. Oh, we're going to break in. Barry Bonds is going for...
Oh, yeah.
What the heck?
And baseball needed that.
They did need it.
Baseball was dying.
And so, isn't that not a part of the history of the game?
Sure.
And especially he did it in an iconic fashion by breaking Hank Aaron's records. Who cares if it was chemically enhanced? Well, it's a different conversation. But it's part of the history of the game, and you can't forget about it.
No, but you need to tell it properly. I think that would be the rebuttal for those who would oppose at this point, still staunchly keeping them out of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You know, the mission is to, hey, you can't ignore it because we watched it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like you can rip down a banner, you know, an NCAA title.
Right.
We watched you win a championship. So you can do whatever you want to the banners or the trophy case. We witnessed it. We enjoyed it. We watched it. It's about how you want to tell the story. And I think that's what some people still debate, although I think it's certainly changed quite a bit. All right, let's wrap it up with Bill in Syracuse. Then we'll get Axe update. We'll join Michael Irvin's going to stop by after that. Bill, Tiki and Tierney, how you doing today, pal? What's going on?
Good, guys. I just want to first off say you guys are my favorite on the radio all time. So
thank you, Bill.
Very much for
thank
that.
Thank you, sir.
And my opinion is you got to keep both these guys out. Now, I was a little league coach for many years, and these kids look up to athletes. You can't have people who use performance-enhancing drugs use these drugs to make them better at the game.
Yeah.
It just tarnishes records. It tarnishes the legacy of these great athletes. I mean, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens are two of the greatest athletes we'll see play. But they cheated.
Yeah.
You can't have them in.
Yeah, Bill, let me flip this back at you real quickly. Let's say that, you know, 10 years from now, Jose Altuve retires and he has great numbers, even if he's, you know, is not cheating any longer. But you go back to his MVP season, his World Series championships, and you realize that this was part of it. Like, this is part of his legacy. Are you saying the same thing?
No, I'm not, because you know what? Sign stealing is a little bit different from using drugs.
Not to that level, respectfully.
No,
not to that
right.
degree.
You're right, sir. Okay. I'm not going to argue with
you
on that.
I got you.
But in the same token, it's not the same thing. You're not telling kids to use drugs.
Yeah,
you're telling them
I hear
to try
you.
To get an edge up on the game. I don't care what sport you play, everybody tries to get an edge up, like Deflategate.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
That's right.
Like
that's,
you guys were just talking about.
Yeah, that's right. It's
you
like
try to get the edge up, and that's not right. But in the same token, you can't use drugs.
Yeah.
That's not good for you.
That is a good point. Drugs
good job, Bill.
You can't ever espouse.
No, who's going to get on the air and say drugs right. are good?
Yeah, but you can say kind of flippantly and like giving your 100%, you're not cheating, you're not trying. You
uh-huh.
know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
You can say that. You can't say use chemically enhancing, you know, performance.
For
substances.
Sure. I mean, you could also go down this rabbit hole. You could say, well, you know, how is it different than an aspiring drummer, and not to connect drug use with all aspects mm-hmm. of music, but I don't know, just or any sort of music, whatever instrument it might be, you know, sitting in your room tripping on acid, listening yeah. to Pink Floyd as inspiration. I mean, yeah, I don't know. What, because there's no record book for musicians? Well, there is actually. It's called Number One Hits and, yeah. and Gold Albums and Platinum Albums and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and... Even that Hall of Fame's confusing. Remember yeah. how long it took us to understand that?
Oh, yeah, I mean, Whitney Houston is just up to get in now.
Yes.
And I'm like, if Whitney Houston's on the ballot, she should have been in like decades ago.
If Whitney Houston's not in the building, they should put the padlock on the building and shut right. it down. All right, let's get the update for Mac. We'll see what's cooking there. Michael Irvin, a little playmaker. Going to stop by after that. Here's Ackerman right now. Hey, if you missed anything from a show, check us out. Go to radio.com, podcast, pretty simple stuff. Radio.com app. CBSSportsRadio.com, iTunes, or just about anywhere to get a podcast. We had Pete Rose last week. It was phenomenal. So if you want to go check it out, obviously all the Hall of Fame stuff, and we'll get our answers tonight. A little more than 2 hours, and we're tracking it, of course. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. I'm going to get with the playmaker here in a couple of minutes. Our Super Bowl trip starting to shape up nicely here, as always. So we've got Cam Newton booked, Ron Rivera's booked. I know Cam Hayward is booked, Shannon Sharp booked. It'll be pretty good.
Nice.
Looking forward to it.
Got it.
Jason Witten, strong possibility. Yeah. Did you see the?
I did see that.
For those who missed it, there's actually a thought that Jason Witten would join Jason Garrett with the Giants.
Now,
number one, can Jason Witten still play?
It's funny because when I first saw that, I thought Jason Witten was going to join.
His understudy? As
well,
a coach?
Yes. Yes.
That's what I thought, too.
I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Jason Witten's going to retire and become, like, the tight ends coach
yeah.
for the New York Giants, which would have been cool because for a while he was the tight end. He worked under Mike Pope, who was one of the great, you know, assistant coaches in the NFL
mm-hmm.
For a while. I think Coach Pope is retired now. But if Jason Witten could bring what Coach Pope brought to the Giants when he was here, which was all that misdirection stuff that we used to do back in my era and Ahmad Bradshaw and Derek Ward and those guys. Like, if he could bring that back to this offense with Saquon,
yeah.
oh, man, that would be awesome. But then I realized he wants to go as a player. I'm like, oh, okay, I don't really want that.
You know, I don't know. Maybe because I'm not a Giants fan, I'm a little more willing to risk it.
Yeah.
But if I look at their offense and I'm like, all right, so you got Saquon, who's a matchup nightmare anywhere on the field you put him. And I think he'll be utilized a little differently this way than
yeah.
with the previous regime. You got Shepard, you got Ingram, got Slayton, who really popped. I mean, just put this guy near the sticks. A little safety valve for Daniel Jones.
Look, Slayton was one of the rookie surprises.
Yeah, he was.
And I don't think people realized
he was good.
Thought that he was going to be that good, and he really exploded. It's interesting, though, because I think Jason Witten, while he feels like he's at the end of his career,
mm-hmm.
I think the San Francisco 49ers gave us some insight on what a tight end needs to be in the National Football League. So we champion the Travis Kelce's and even Evan Ingram with the New York Giants,
yeah.
Kittle. But what we forget to acknowledge about George Kittle is he's a hell of a blocker.
He's so physical. Yep.
And without that, the San Francisco 49ers and that run game don't have the success that they have all season long without a blocking tight end. Jason Witten brings that in a sense. He's not a elite, you know, pass catching wide receiver slash tight end anymore, but he is a willing blocker. And I think that's something that Evan Engram doesn't do with the New York Giants. And so if you want to help the run game, you got to have a blocking tight end, period.
I just don't know. Like, if I'm Jason Witten, why would I want to leave Dallas?
I wouldn't. I don't think he actually wants to. Maybe he was upset how it went down. Maybe he just said something. I don't know.
Upset that they got rid of Garrett?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, listen, friendship is a powerful tool.
That's right. And they've been together for a long time now.
Long time. How about this? The 2020 NFL draft is, we know Vegas is the scene, and we anticipate we'll be back out there for it this year. Last year was Nashville. It was awesome. We were out there as a show. It was really good. Although it started pouring the night of the draft.
It did. Wasn't the marathon? Wasn't there a marathon?
There was. There was a marathon because think about this. All the bachelorette parties that were out there.
Oh, that's right.
That we, you know, that were just canceled. Kind of bumping into around town. They were so unhappy because all of a sudden this monstrosity of a draft is there, and now you got this marathon.
Yeah, that's right.
I wouldn't be too thrilled about that either. But
yeah,
the Vegas thing. So I saw this today. Players are going to use boats. We got Michael Irvin. I'll get back to this later. But talk about elaborate and doing it the way only Vegas can do it. They're going to actually boat the draftees to the podium to get a little bro hug from the commish. It's crazy. I'll tell you more later on. We got to get to the playmaker. The playmaker, Hall of Fame, Super Bowl champ, one of the truly great personalities in our business. This guy is always, seemingly always in a good mood and always has something to say that's interesting. Michael Irvin back here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Playmaker, how you doing today, buddy?
And I'm doing well, fellas. How are you guys, man? Did I hear you right there, Bodhi?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They're getting fancy now, Mike.
That thing is so great right now, man. They living the life, man. Everywhere. When you go see the complexes and the facilities they get to play in and practice in now, everything is just more grand and more incredible. But I can't wait to be at that draft in Vegas.
It better be like a big yacht, though, Mike, because I can see some kids stepping off, slipping, falling into the water with like a nice like $1,000 suit on, just being salty.
What if there's a trade mid-ride? You got to bring it back.
Ah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
But let me ask you this. I would imagine, I've heard some of your comments on McCarthy, so I know that you know that he's a great football man and should be a pretty good will be a good hire by the Cowboys. What I didn't get your opinion on retaining Kellen Moore. What were your thoughts on that, Mike?
This part out of all of it that I'm probably most happy about, to be honest, man. Because let me tell you why. Because you guys know when you finally get somewhere, you want to kind of live there for a while. Peyton Manning was so successful because he took his offense with him.
Yeah.
Tom Brady is successful right now because he has his offense. And I tell people, everybody's talking about where is Tom going. Understand, you don't want to bring Tom over unless you bring all that he's been doing for the last 20 years. Nobody wants a 40-something-year-old guy. They want the 20-year experience that's coming with the 40-something-year-old guy. So you don't bring him over and put him in a brand-new offense. You bring him over and give him his offense to run so he can bring all the experience over with him. Dak Prescott just had his best year in this offense. And what I did not want to see was him go all the way back to first base when he just rounded third trying to come to home and you know, put up the best numbers he had in this system. And now all of a sudden scrap the whole system and bring something else in. So I like that they're going to use Kellen Moore and even use that system and amalgamize and bring this other system in and teach so it's something added, not something that overwhelms him and he can still have early success. Look at what Aaron Rodgers looked like early on in that new offense.
Yeah, good point.
And he's Aaron Rodgers. Of course, they ultimately won, but you know, and they got better as the year goes on. But you want him to have some kind of carryover from the success he had.
Okay, makes sense. Total Hall of Famer Michael Irvin, 3-time Super Bowl champ with the Cowboys, part of the NFL Network. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Look, Jason Garrett's a friend. I think it was probably time, but it almost felt like Jerry Jones didn't want to move on from Jason Garrett. He ultimately does. And I wonder, you know, being close to that organization as you are, what's the urgency that Jerry's starting to feel to actually win a Super Bowl and not just keep talking about it?
Well, he feels the urgency. You know, when you're in that box with him, oh my God, TJ, I was up in that box in New York, man. And that box was, when the Cowboys were losing that game, that box was, oh my God, that box was dark. That box was dark. And I had,
I had just landed. I just gotten in from doing the game in London.
Yep.
So I landed, got to the game. I got to the game a little late, you know. But when I walked in, I was afraid. Everybody was afraid to say anything. Because Jerry's just, you know, he's trying to get there now. He knows time is running out, and he wants to win another one before he goes on to eternity. That box was hot. It was quiet until that black cat came on the football field. And I told him this after the game. I said, boy, this thing was looking ugly until that black cat came on the field and the black man walked in the box.
Sign him up.
And things changed. And things started changing.
Wait. Mike, what you're saying is you, as the black man, brought the black cat and let it loose on the field and changed the fortunes of the Dallas Cowboys in that game.
Right. And wanted to hear it so that I was fun.
Oh, I love it. Hey, Mike, I know you're doing a thing with Frito-Lays and ready for crunch time. Sun Chips are mine. Those are my favorite ones. Tell us about this promotion you're doing with Frito-Lay.
Yeah, it crunch time. You know, we always talk about it right now. And I love the play on it because it is crunch time. You guys know about that. It's crunch time, playoffs, and Super Bowl time. You make one bad decision here, it's over. Crunch time on the football field, but crunch time at all your parties that you're getting ready, your Super Bowl parties. So you got that crunch time on the field, crunch time at the house, man. Get the right chips so you can be ready to make your play. Mine's Lay's potato chips, those Fritos, chili cheese Fritos. those are my best. I got a real addiction to these chips, man. And that's why I tell them, the best thing is when my people bring me things that I really do. I really, really, really eat Fritos. That's all I eat all the time are these chips, man. So that, it's a great partnership.
Well, you got to be mixing in some protein because you're still pretty jacked. You got to be eating something else healthy there, man.
Yeah, I'm under that old thing. I can eat what I want as long as I work out hard enough.
Understood.
That's what I'm saying.
That's right. I get you.
I'm in the same world, brother.
Mike, let me ask you this. Not a ton of time, but I'm real curious, and you probably have a good minute and a half if you need to, or maybe even 2 minutes to answer this. Miami presents different traps leading up to the Super Bowl. Indianapolis, you know, one thing. Glendale, one thing. You know, Minnesota, one thing. Miami, how dangerous is it going to be for some of these players to stay focused and, you know, not get bent out of shape over the wrong thing?
Right, and I'm going to tell you something too, man, and that's one of the things. Somebody asked what the best advice you can give guys that are coming, especially their first Super Bowl. Don't try to take it like, oh, this is just a business trip. This is just another game. It's not. And Jimmy was great at with us at saying, okay, guys, you know, everybody wants to pat you on the back because this is a big game and you made it here and you deserve that. So let's go in. We would go in on a Sunday. He said, have a blast Sunday night. Have a blast Monday night. But when we do that thing Tuesday, that press conference Tuesday, after that, it's over. You know, so he wanted you to get it out your system. Go and have fun too Sunday night. Go have fun Monday night. Tuesday, we're locking in. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, locking in for the game. It's too big of a game to think you can keep this in the box of a regular game or even a playoff game. You'll fool yourself or lie to yourself. Accept the reality. You made it to the biggest sporting event in the world, certainly for this country. You made it here. Get all your accolades. Tell everybody, yeah, we made it. And then Tuesday, get your butt back to work and cut it all loose.
Yeah, no, that's what you got to do. 10 seconds. Do you like De'Aaron King, Houston transfer, coming over to helm the backfield for your Miami Hurricanes?
Man, I like anything that can help us, man.
Can't be worse.
We lost to Duke, and then we lost to Louisiana Tech.
Yeah.
I can't even tell you how hard that is to deal with, man, when you're talking about that right there. So anybody that can bring any help, please, come on.
I
guess that's a yes.
Now you say now they need to wear the fatigues to hide so nobody knows who they are off campus. You still got them laying around, Mike.
All right, and don't be going in too hard. I can go in hard on my Hurricane.
No. We got none but love.
Thanks, hey, Playmaker. Appreciate you,
Mike,
buddy.
We appreciate you. Frito-Lay's ready for crunch time. That's a campaign. Basically, bring your potato chips to any party you go to.
That's right.
I love it.
Bring a six-pack, too. Wash it down
exactly.
A little bit. Hour two coming up. Patrick Mahomes knocking on a door that is rarely answered. Will it happen here? We'll get to it coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.